Hi, David here, and welcome back to the podcast where we're looking at mediumship and life and spirit through the automatic writings of early 20th century medium James Paget. In the first series of podcasts, we looked at how James began to develop the ability to write messages from people in spirit by way of automatic writing, and at some of the messages he received from his wife Helen and other family members. If you've not yet listened to those episodes, do use them. They will give you an idea of how James was able to receive and write these messages. And the content of the messages he received from family members is fascinating. In this second series, we're going to look at some of the messages James received from friends and colleagues who had passed to spirit and who wanted to take the opportunity to write to him. They come from different walks of life, and in terms of their spirituality, they are all at different stages on the journey of personal development. So what they have to say is quite varied. In trying to build up a picture of what it's like in the spirit world, it's really useful to be able to look at a wide range of experiences, because it helps us to see how many and varied are the places that people go to. People often ask what it's like in spirit, where do you go when you die, and so on. The only answer as to where we go is that it depends entirely on what kind of person you are. I usually respond by saying that we go to a place where we are not embarrassed by our own nature, which means being among others who are at a similar stage of development to ourselves. That then becomes the starting point for our further development. One of the reasons for looking at individual messages from people in spirit is because I think it's often a lot more helpful to give some examples from people who've actually been through this experience and how they progressed from their initial starting point, if indeed they have done. There are many general descriptions of different places in spirit and accounts of general laws that are said to apply. But hearing individual accounts often helps to make all this a bit more real for those of us who haven't yet been through the process of leaving this physical life behind and continuing with the next phase of life. In this episode, we're going to take a look at a message James received from his old law professor, Joseph Salyards. We've heard from him briefly once already in episode 1.4, just making contact and saying he was looking forward to writing a longer message. This later message from Joseph Salyards to James Paget was received on December 18, 1914. So just about 6 months after James started writing the messages. The message begins, "I am here, Professor Salyards. I am here to tell you of some of my experiences in spirit life, and I wish that you would let me speak first of my regeneration and birth into the higher sphere where I am now living. Your mother is the chief cause of my progression, as she first showed me the way to the love of God. I was, as you may know, not a very spiritual man when on earth, but thought that man only needed a great intellect in order to enjoy the great blessings of the spirit life." So Joseph Salyards is telling us that intellect, the ability to reason, is perhaps not enough when it comes to the spiritual life. One of the characteristics of many traditional organized religions is that so much hinges on belief and on subscribing to the right beliefs. Belief in this sense can be a mental or intellectual habit. In this material and materialistic world, the tendency is to place great emphasis upon mental beliefs and upon the value of intellectual ability in comprehending the world. The problem with this, or its limitation, is that mental beliefs are really an exercise of our consciousness, which is an attribute of the soul, but is not the soul itself. The soul has other senses, other capabilities, of which the most direct and the most true to the nature of the soul is the capacity for love. In many, if not most people, this capacity goes underused, underdeveloped, because our societies undervalue it. Joseph Saliard is telling us that he too thought that intellect was the way to human advancement, but that having passed to spirit, he found this understanding inadequate. He says to James Paget, "I was not what might be called a great sinner, as I lived a tolerably good moral life, as you may know from your experiences with me, while you were at school under my instruction. I had no idea that something more than mere intellectual acquirements were needed in order to enjoy the happiness that God had provided for his children, who were willing to receive all the blessings that his love and favour had in store for them. Well, after I ascended to the spirit world, I found that my intellectual and moral qualifications did not make me very happy, although I enjoyed comparative happiness in the pursuit of knowledge and the investigation of those intellectual questions that appealed to my higher desires. I soon commenced to see that I had something more to acquire than mere knowledge of spiritual laws and the things that appealed to the intellect, which all who are of a practical inclination deem sufficient for self-satisfaction. I began to study these things and have advanced very much in my knowledge of them, and have succeeded in writing a poem which gives me great satisfaction and makes me think that I am really a poet." This is quite sweet. Joseph Saliard is creating a picture for us of someone who perhaps didn't allow much room in his life for artistic creativity. Obviously, there can be creativity in the exercise of mental abilities, but here Joseph is telling us that something as simple as writing a poem offers him a new way of being and of looking at things or at life. The potential artist in him is finding an outlet. He continues, "Since I have progressed to the higher spheres where love rules and intellect is a mere subordinate medium of true happiness, I find that while my acquirements in the particulars mentioned are desirable and afford much enjoyment and delight to my mind, yet my true happiness is with the possession and knowledge that I have the love of God in my soul." I've already mentioned that our natural capacity for love is a more direct, more true expression of the soul, each of us is. But Joseph is pointing here to something other than natural human love. He is expressly talking of God's love, or divine love, as it is called in many of the Paget messages. When he speaks of having the love of God in my soul, Joseph is speaking of something that he shares in, which is present in him, which he possesses, and that this is something he is conscious of. He continues, "So you see, mere intellect or moral qualities are not the important thing for a spirit who wants to possess and enjoy the greatest happiness. Keep this in mind in your earthly life, and when you come over, you will find that many things will appear easy to comprehend, which otherwise you may have to search for in darkness and doubt." So Joseph Saliard is keen to press home the message that what he calls mere intellect, and indeed moral qualities, are not the way to the greatest happiness. There's two things in there. First, Joseph Saliard wants to point to divine love as the way to the greatest happiness that he speaks of. Now, there are many spiritual texts that tell us that in spirit, love counts for more than intellect or mental belief. In saying this, they do not tend to distinguish between our natural human capacity for love and any other kind. Indeed, for most people, it doesn't occur to them to think there might be any other kind. But Joseph Saliard isn't talking about human love. He's being very careful to point to something else, something he only learned about when he passed to spirit. He also tells us that James Paget's mother, Anne Paget, has been instrumental in his learning of this greater love. Secondly, not only is mere intellect not the root to the greatest happiness, but according to Joseph Saliard, neither are moral qualities. Now, we know that people who are immoral, in the sense that they cause harm to others, have far more to face or to answer for when they pass to spirit than people who are loving towards others. So what does Joseph mean by this? I suspect that what he means is that adhering to conventional morals will not necessarily lead to the greatest happiness. Many of the social rules we follow in this world, and which are often dressed up as moral, ethical, or religious rules, are simply a means of social control or regulation. Following convention might get us through life in this world with fewer hassles than we might otherwise face. But a conventional life doesn't always make for a happy and fulfilling one. It can lack the creativity and freedom of expression that we were talking about earlier, and which Joseph Saliard has begun to explore. Joseph tells us that his intellectual and moral qualities have led him to a state of what he calls comparative happiness. I can think of worse states to be in, but this does sound a bit measured. This sounds like someone who is contented at best, rather than living life to the full. And Joseph openly tells us that God's love, or divine love, is the thing that has led him to a fuller happiness. Joseph concludes this message by saying, "I will write to you sometime when we have more time, and will also tell you the results of my investigation of the spirit life, but not tonight, as I am tired, and so are you." Yes, I am really Professor Saliard who is writing, and you must believe me, or I will feel hurt. Your old professor and friend, Joseph Saliard. This is also quite sweet. This is late 1914, so still quite early in Paget's writing process. As we saw in the earlier episodes in Series 1, Paget took time to accept the identities and content of some of the messages he received. And here is his old law professor saying, "Yes, it's really me." We do forget sometimes how disappointing it must be for people in spirit to try and express themselves in this world through a human medium of communication, only to find that we're not convinced it's them. It's interesting also to hear someone in spirit say that the act of communicating is tiring for them. It does take concentration and effort on their part, so it's not enough for a medium to expect that spirit communicators will do all the work. Equally, it's not enough for someone receiving a message through a medium to assume that others will do all the work, and that all they need to do is sit there and receive. If you want to receive, you have to give. Something as simple as a warm welcome will strengthen the connection. Anyway, Joseph Salyard's message leaves us with a few questions, the main one being, what is this God's love or divine love of which he speaks? Also, is sharing in it something that happens naturally, or is it something we have to go looking for? Is it something we have to earn? I mentioned in the last episode that the companion series of episodes to this one will pick up on the repeated mentions we've seen as to the importance of divine love and the difference it makes to the human soul when it is touched by that love. What's important to get across here is that in speaking of the love of God, Joseph Salyard is not merely using a figure of speech. He is indicating or pointing to something real that our language struggles to explain or describe fully. Divine love is an actual thing, a power, a force that each human soul can share in. What it is and how we do that are the focus of the episodes that will begin as a new series with episode 10.1. The episodes in series 10 will look at messages from some people who have been in spirit for many centuries and who feature in the New Testament. Even just saying that, you'll see why James Paget took a bit of convincing that his spirit communicators were who they said they were. So I hope you'll join me for that, together with the follow-up episode to this one, which will be 2.2, where we'll be looking at a message from James Paget's wife, Helen, in which she gives an answer to some of the questions prompted by the message from Joseph Salyard's that we looked at in this episode. Finally, just a reminder that the transcript of this episode is available on my Medium account. The link is given in the description box for this episode, together with the link to the YouTube video it is based on. And with that, I will look forward to welcoming you to the next episode. Thank you for listening, and in the meantime, take care.